Mark chapter 5. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountain a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed of the devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed, and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. In life we have a lot of experience seeing people who are sick. Something like this is kind of unusual, and this was a very special case. Now, I've talked about spirits before. Great and large, you know, many and few. There can be many ways in which spirits can affect people. I want to read an incident from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 22, verse 19. And I'm going to preface it with a little bit of background. The kings of Judah and Israel have united to go fight against their enemies at Ramoth-Gilead. And the king of Judah wants a prophet of God. The king of Israel has all kinds of other prophets come, but Jehoshaphat is a little nervous because he hasn't seen a prophet of the Lord. He brings one forth, and the king of Israel does not like him because he always says things that he doesn't like. He always says things against me. He always says negative things. I don't like Micaiah, but because of the insistence of the king of Judah, they bring him along. He tells him, yeah, go ahead, go up to battle. And so he says, didn't I tell you you would only speak the truth? And so he begins to tell him the truth. And then in verse 19, he says, Hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him, on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, Who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said on this matter, and another said on that matter. And there came forth a spirit, and stood before the Lord, and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, Wherewith? And he said, I will go forth, and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, Thou shalt persuade him, and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. At this point, one of the false prophets goes over and slaps him and says, Which way did the Spirit of God go from me into you? And saying, Well, I don't remember the Spirit leaving me and going over to you. I know what's going on. Go up and you'll be victorious, Ahab. You guys are united. Of course you're going to win. The point is, You see how God speaks to and commands spirits. And from what I can tell, this seems to be a unique feature of Christ, meaning that he can command them in their essence. And the disciples do it when Christ grants them authority over it. But this happening here with the legion and all that is very exceptional. Very exceptional. Because, you know, it names itself, it's very personified. We are many. Evil spirits I generally think of as not being very personal. But they do have a will. And that varies. Sometimes it's just evil influences. Saul would have an evil spirit from God that came and it would trouble him. And when David would play, it would stop tormenting him and depart. So it wasn't really a possession. It was something that would like come on him. And there can be spirits that come in trouble. And you say, well, what is a spirit? Is it like this invisible being that kind of walks around my house and haunts me? A spirit is outside of our normal experience of animals and plants and material things. It's a spiritual thing. It dwells in the realms of ideas. It's like a personified idea, a personified feeling, a localized, semi-localized, I should say, emotion or feeling. You know, I'm sort of reaching. Because they've always been understood in terms of evil spirits. But I think today we've tried to, when we say spirit, we begin to think of a spirit in terms of something that is like man. You know, when the Christians portray the spirits and so on and so forth, they always give them human form. Somehow I think it makes it easier for us to understand things when we put it in a human form. And to a certain degree, I think that's true. But let's not confuse that with the actual thing. So spirits are not men either. And the degree to which they are personified is somewhat case by case. I say this because, to me, it's an interesting thing to think through. What is the exact nature of evil spirits? What is the exact nature? And I like to think of it in terms of what I can know and what I can't know. Because there's a lot of information out there about people saying, oh, it's this way, oh, it's that way. And I say, who are you to know? What do you know? What do I know? I don't know anything. I'm only making educated assertions based on what I know from the Scripture. I'm saying as much as I can based on what's written. So this gentleman